Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're continuing my series on my favorites. But today you're going to get my favorite. This is my life verse. And I love a lot of verses in the Bible, but this is probably, I just love this verse for so many reasons. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 18. He says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary." Everybody say temporary. "But the things which are not seen are," what? "Eternal." So, we have a couple words here, temporary and eternal. Temporary means it's for a period of time, right? It's temporary. But eternal means it's forever. So here's what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. That there's things that you don't see that are more real. Here, what's more real? Something that's temporary or something that stays there forever? What is more substantial? Dirt or concrete? Concrete. What is more substantial? Wood or steel?
Steel.
Okay. What is more real? Something that's here today and gone tomorrow, or something that is here today and is going to be around tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day? Do you understand? So he's saying what you can count on is what you do not see. And what you cannot rely on, because it's going to be here today, gone the next day, is on what you do see. Are you learning something today? And notice what he says. We do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. He's saying we are spiritual people. And as spiritual people, we live our life. We don't look at this that is here today and gone the next. See, we need to be different than the world. Can you say amen to this?
Amen.
And, but how many know sometimes we get caught up in what they get caught up in? See, listen to me. Our system is different than their system. We have things that we can't see that we can rely on. Jesus said it like this. He said, "My words are spirit and they are life." That's right. We can't see those, but we can rely on them. I was listening to recently a scientist, and he was talking about, he's an atheist, and he was talking about, very well known, and talking about with such piety and with such assurance that God doesn't exist. And he's basing all this, what he thinks is a truth, it's based on what he can see. And I thought, oh my goodness. How many know he is going to sit before God one day? And he will not be an atheist anymore. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't say he'd be in the family of God. You only have an opportunity to be in the family of God when your heart is beating and you're here on this earth. Amen. There was a famous scientist, and somebody helped me out if you remember his name, but he had a debilitating disease, and he knew that he would die early. Very famous scientist. What? No. You're thinking of another guy. But this guy in the wheelchair wasn't that guy. Anyway, very famous. I guess not so famous after all. Okay, anyway. Anyway, I remember he died. And I remember when he died, hearing of his death and thinking. Just had a chill just come up my spine, thinking, oh my goodness. This one who was so bold and so cocky and so arrogant to declare to thousands and thousands of impressionable students that there was no God, that these and any of these Christians were so foolish to believe in a God. And I thought, oh my goodness. Did you remember his name? No. Not Einstein. This is in my lifestyle. He died. Anyway. I remember thinking, oh my goodness, he is in front of God giving judgment for his life. And without the blood of Jesus, he's going to be away from God, always knowing that God is real. See, our systems is different than their system. So Paul says, we don't look at that which is seen. We look at that which is unseen, because that which is unseen is more real. Somebody say more real. More real. More substantial, more dependable than that which you can see. That's right. Come on. Are you learning something? Yeah. See, I want to encourage you today, because we as God's people need to be people of faith, people that believe God no matter what we see. But many times, because of the world we live in, we just get on the same system that they're on. They're on a train. We don't need to get on their train. We need to get on a different train. The Bible says, wide is the way that leads to destruction. That system doesn't lead to destruction. I'm going to show you in the Word. It leads that train doesn't lead to life and joy and peace. It leads to destruction and corruption and corrosion. But when we get on that same train, listen to me, sometimes even people as accepting Jesus Christ. Here, let me prove it to you. Have you ever struggled to believe God? Raise your hand real high if you struggled to believe God. Now raise your other hand keep that hand up, and raise your other hand if you're a Christian. See, we can do it too. We're struggling to believe God, and we're on that train, and what I want to encourage you today, by the time I get done today, and it won't take me long to teach this, I want you to get off that train and on the train of faith, on the train of hope, on the train that believes what you can't see. Because what you can't see is more substantial than what you can see. I was on the wrong train. We were in the North Sanctuary. We had tried to raise just $12,000 for these chairs, the chairs that you sit on. How many know stuff costs a lot of money? And even 20 years ago, stuff cost a lot of money. And we tried to raise $12,000 to buy 350 chairs. And I stood there and I encouraged the people. And after month after month after month, we didn't have as many people as we have now. But still, we had more people than $400 worth. And after month after month after month, we only had $400, which meant we could buy about two rows of chairs. And at this pace, we would probably get chairs in 2034, okay? And that wasn't good. And God did a supernatural miracle, and within just a couple months after that, 4 months, boom, we had all the money, and we purchased all these chairs. Thank you, Jesus. But that, listen to me, but that caused a picture in my mind. And then we had this vision, and nothing looked like this. We just had grass. We didn't have any benches. We didn't have nice concrete. We didn't have these lights all around us, these park lights. You know what? We didn't have any of that. And so we had a vision, what we called Hope Park. Somebody say Hope Park. And we just wanted it to be nicer, that people could come outside of church and sit down on a park bench. We wanted at night for it just to light up, the whole campus to light up and be nice. And we called it Hope Park. And it was going to cost about $10,000 to raise that money. Well, what was I doing? I walked by sight, not by faith. And I believed because I saw it. I saw what we were able to do, which was next to nothing. And we made this thermometer. Most of you weren't even around then. But we made this thermometer, and when we started the thermometer, there was hardly any red on that thermometer. So maybe we had like maybe $300, and so that thermometer was way down low. You know what? And I remember Isaac's wife stood up there and said confidently to the congregation, she said, "We got this." And I sat down in the first row and thought, "We don't got jack. Are you not looking? Are you not looking at the same thermometer that I see?" What was my problem? I was on the wrong train. Amen. I mean, no, we got to get off the sight train and on the unsight train. For that which is seen is temporary, but that which is unseen is more substantial. And that's the train we got to get on. That's our system. Are you understanding this? Amen. And then later on, and sure enough, we did have it. And boom, and it went from 300 to 1,000, to 1,500, to 3,000. Amen? Amen? Listen, and at 3,000, how many know it's a little easier to believe at 3,000? But how many know that's really walking by sight? Is it not? Well, we raised the 10,000, we poured the concrete, we got the benches, we dug. How many were here when we dug the trenches? Raise your hand, men, if you were here when we dug the trenches. And we dug the trenches and we put all the stuff in, and thank you, Jesus, it was done. But listen to me, your pastor, you know what, who was weak in faith, he got off that train. I said he got off that train. And when we knew that we had to get in the South Sanctuary, we knew that we needed to move into a bigger place. We went from a small sanctuary that could hold about 120 people to a larger sanctuary, almost doubled the size. You know what? 200 people we can put in the North Sanctuary, South Sanctuary. And we knew, and it was going to tell, and we talked to the architects, and then we went to our friend, and he drew all put all the bids out, and he came back and he said, "Pastor, that's going to cost about $120,000 to build." And by the time we got the lights and the sound in, it was up to about $170,000. Watch this. And the pastor, who could barely believe for $10,000, completely believed that we could raise $170,000. Why? Because I got off the train. Amen. I got off the sight train and I got on the faith train. Faith is just trusting in God. Are you learning something? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We have it up here on the screens. You can turn in your Bibles. Of course, I'm reading out of the New King James. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? See, trusting in God. Listen, you don't have to see it to trust in God. Faith, which the Bible says you can't please God without it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. How many hoping for something? Amen. How many hoping for something? Well, if you put your hope in God, notice it's substantive. You know why it uses that word substance? Because that which is not seen, somebody help me preach this, is it more real or less real? It's more real. So the writer of Hebrews says this hope in God is substance. It is substantial. And notice the next word, hope for the, what's that word? The what? Evidence. See, they're going to put you, they want to put you in a Looney Tune. They want to put you in a crazy bin. They want to say, oh, those Christians are crazy, always believing for this and believing for that, and God's going to do this and God's going to do that and all this stuff. Amen. Hey, I don't sweat you, and you're not going to influence me to get off. Listen, I've lived on this train and I've lived on that train. This train is better. Amen. Amen. And here's what I want you to catch. Not from your experience. See, can I take a time out? Can I take a time out? Can I take a time out? Can I be real with you? Here's what most of us do. Most of us hear a sermon like this, and we filter it through our experience. And that's where you get in trouble. That's what I've done. I filtered whether we were going to be able to bid $10,000 based on my experience. And Paul says, let me tell you what's substantial. Let me tell you what you can count on. Let me tell you what is truth. Let me tell you what is concrete. Not what you can see, but what you can't see. So in this passage, it's not, you know what, it is substance and it's evidence. And one is hope for, then another passage in the Bible says, hope that is seen isn't hope. Amen? Ooh, I hope I have a phone. I hope I have a phone. I hope I have a phone. How many know this is not hope? I have a phone. The Bible says hope that is seen isn't hope. But the Bible says that this hope is substantive. And this thing that is not seen is evidence. You can count on it. It's reliable. That's what Paul's saying in Corinthians. He's saying, guys, you guys got your confidence in the wrong things. You have confidence in what you can see. And you don't have confidence in what you can't see. But what I'm telling you is what you can't see is more reliable than what you can see. But most of us walk by sight. I won't say most. Many of us walk by sight, not by faith. And Paul points out, well, if you believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but whoever you think wrote Hebrews, he points out that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Are you learning something? One version said, now faith is the, I like this. One version said, now faith is the certainty of things hoped for, the proof of things not seen. And that's a good translation, the New American Standard. Now, faith is the certainty of things hoped for and the proof of what you can't see. See, how many know God's word is more reliable than anything else? But see, we, watch this, we, even as Christians, remember some of you had both hands up? You're Christian, but sometimes you, we in this world, sometimes, that's why sermons like this need to be preached to us. We need to hear. Faith comes through hearing, and we have to remind ourselves. That's why he says, do not stop taking communion till I return. Do this in remembrance of what I did on the cross. Let me just take healing. When your body is yelling at you, saying, "Ooh, am I the only one?" Man, don't wait. You don't need to have a fancy cup. You just go to the fridge, get some orange juice, get a cracker, and take communion. Remind yourself. Take that cracker and put it up and say, you know what? Right in your house. But Pastor, the dogs will look at me funny. Who cares? You need to remind yourself that by his stripes you're healed. Yeah. You need to look at that stick, that serpent. That was your sickness and your diseases that were put on him. And Satan is reminding you that you can't because what you did. You need to say, I can because of what he did. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I quote this all the time. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Let's say it together. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Again, everybody. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And some of you, today is the day that you're getting out of the sight train and you're going to get on the faith train. You're going to get out of that situation where you just believe what you see. You believe what you see. You believe the doctor's report. You believe whatever is. It's not just healing. It's all kinds of things that God has given to you. Hope. Here, how about hope? We should be the people with more hope than anybody else. And sometimes through life, we can become hopeless. And we're basing it based on what we see. Well, brothers, sisters, friends, we're just on the wrong train. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And then Paul says, and let me tell you about faith. Faith is more substantive than that train over there. You can count on this train. You can't count on that train. Amen. Matter of fact, I'll show you that train. You can actually count on that train to go the wrong direction. Amen. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Back up chapter 2, verse 4. Look at this. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, for the just shall live by his faith. Now, can I break this one down a little bit? Yes. Come on, how many came to study the word of God today? Yes. We quote Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, and here's how we quote it. For the just shall live by their faith. And that's kind of accurate. It's true. That's what Habakkuk says. But sometimes we need to read before. We need to read above and below. Well, let's read before. For behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. For behold the what? For behold the proud. Let's do some hermeneutics here. But, what's but? But is saying, this is how this is. But this is how we are. Do you see this? See, he's saying they're on that train. Who? The proud. It takes humility to trust in God. The proud person says, I don't have to trust in God. I don't believe in God. Atheists are proud. Everything, I heard this famous atheist the other day, and somebody asked him about God, and here's what he said. He said, you know what? God doesn't exist because we don't see, this is so crazy what he said. We can prove it because we don't see his existence anywhere. Wow. I thought it's so ironic because the Bible says no man is without excuse because you can see his handiwork in every. I'm like, dude, have you ever seen a tree? But that's what he said. And then he said this. He said, people who believe in God, you know what? They are not taking responsibility for their life. There is no God. We need to step up to the plate and say, you know what? That we need to make the changes that we can make. Who am I listening to? A proud person. See, how many of you are wise enough to know you are jacked up and without God, you are hopeless? And that's why Habakkuk shows this. And he says first, before he says, but the just shall live by faith. It's a comparison. Behold the proud. He's saying, look at the proud. Their soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by faith. Here, let me show it to you in another version. It makes it more clear. Look at the NIV. Look what it says. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desire is not upright. He's on the wrong train. He's puffed up. He's arrogant. We don't need nobody. We got this myself. But then again, the comparison. But the righteous person shall live by his faithfulness. Amen. He's saying, I don't care what it looks like, but I know God is faithful. And I put my trust in him. Look at another version. The CEV. Do you have that version? Yes. Look what it says. I love this. I, the Lord, refuse to accept anyone that is proud. See, you want to be on the wrong train? He says, okay, you know what? You're going to walk by sight. It's all you. Only those who live by their faith are acceptable to me. Oh, my goodness. Does that make it clear? See, today is the day we got to get off that train. Because this train, this walk by sight, is a pride sight. And the Bible says God resists the proud. It is completely unacceptable for God for you not to trust him. It is a sin. Amen? Are you learning something? John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Yes, yes, yes. John chapter 9. Look at verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Guys, I'm going to just read this whole thing, so just flow with me in the back. Next verse. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he... that he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Then when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and anointed his eyes on the blind man's with the clay. And he said to him, go wash. Catch this. This guy's blind. Now he has mud, not just mud, but mud made by Jesus' spit on his eyes. Is that gross? Can you picture it? It's running off his eyes. It's gross. That's what Jesus just did to this guy. He put mud on his eyes. Listen, can I stop here? I'm telling you, I don't know who this is for. We get so critical in our pious little seats watching evangelists and what they're called faith healers, and we get on the crazy side and sit here with our piousness because we don't think his hair should be cut like that. We're upset because, he does this. And all these people fall under the anointing. And we sit there in our arrogance over here and claim that, that wasn't God. We need to be careful making judgments based on something that you and I don't know jack about. I know I'm getting a little strong, but I'm telling you what, this is permeates the body of Christ. I'm not saying that every time somebody goes like this, I'm not saying there ain't some pushing going on. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, you know what? If you don't know Jack, shut up. Really? If anything, just say you don't know. I'm not saying you got to like everybody on a TV. I mean, no, there's some people that I like better than the people I don't like. But when the people, here, I'm going to get stronger on this. Jesus, anyone who cares to heal people of sickness and disease is ministering the spirit of Jesus Christ and God himself. Because Jesus went around doing good. And you read it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. One of the main things that he did was got people healed. And somebody stepping out in faith, trying to get other people. Hey, should the body of Christ add their faith to them or throw bricks at those people? And then you're going to get on the internet and listen to a bunch of vipers who aren't even saved. Media people start going to criticize them, and you're going to read that trash and go, yep, that's right, that's what I think. His hair's, you know what? He spent $400 for a haircut. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you're not looking at your own life. Maybe you spend more than $400 for your diddly doo dah days stuff. Can you say amen to this? You know, why don't you get the log out of your own eye before you start getting the speck out of somebody else's eye? Man. Like your neighbor say, I love our pastor. I'm sorry, I just get fed up with Christians, who are just self-righteous. You know what? Somebody's out there preaching the gospel. You know what? I mean, just doing everything they can to see people walk in wholeness. And we're going to sit there with our self-righteous, critical spirit. It's gross to me. Amen. All right, praise God. Where were we? Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, the blind guy. Okay. Thank you. So this guy, Jesus has spit on his eye. He's got this mud pack on his eye. You know, the mud's probably dripping off. And here's what Jesus says. Go wash at the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he washed. So he went and washed. Here's what I want you to get. And came back. What? See. Here's my point. That which is not seen is more substantial than what is seen. And that which was seen in this case See, we know the outcome. Put yourself in real time. You're around. You see that. Are you the ding-dong who goes to this guy and says, what are you doing? This guy just spat on the ground and made a mud pie and put it on your eye. And now you're going to do what he told you to do? Stop it. And you are going to walk by sight, not by faith. And you're gonna put your arm around him and say, man, that was so mean, that guy. Let me bless you. Let's go back to our home. And then you can live another 8 years or 10 years or 50 years in your blindness. And you think you're a blessing to this guy. You're not blessing him. You're walking by sight. And you're walking, according to Habakkuk, in pride and arrogance. But, somebody say, but. But we don't walk that way. We walk by faith, not by sight. And then you listen to somebody on the radio, well, you know, you got to watch it, you know what, because, you know what, you got to walk in wisdom. And you're going to call wisdom telling him, you know what, to wash his eyes off at the sink. You're going to call that wisdom. And it's not wisdom. It's foolishness. Well, you've got to be balanced. And we think balance is unbelief with belief. And be somewhere in between. That is not balanced to God. That is not pleasing to God. God is pleased with the people who will listen to the prophet who says, go around, go around, go around, go around, go around, go around. And on the seventh day, you know what? You shout and watch what'll happen. God is blessed by those who are obedient to believe. The prophet, that's the faith. How does he know? But God uses men. Paul writes Timothy and he says, by the prophetic, you can wage a good warfare. Yeah. I'm not saying that every prophetic word that was given to me was from God. I recognize people can make some mistakes. But I'm recognizing, you know what? What Paul wrote Timothy and he said, by the prophetic, you're going to wage a good warfare. You know what? We got to recognize we don't know everything, but we know some things. Yes. Can God speak to us? Yeah. Thank God. Why is that guy come back seeing? He came back seeing because he walked by faith and not by sight. When I was a kid, I sang this song for you before. It's one of my favorite songs. And it was just, how many know sometimes silly kid songs can have deep theological understanding? We used to sing this song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are not laid up somewhere. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't say I feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't say I feel at home in this world anymore. As I was preparing this sermon, this song came to me. And as it came to me, I'm thinking, what is this song? What are you, God, what are you trying to say to me? And I wrote this down. I said, this world is not my home. Exclamation point. But then I said this. This world's system is not the system that I will live under or be part of. Listen, we'll continue this sermon next week. Yeah, I'll give you another chance. We'll continue this sermon next week. But listen to me. We've got to get off this system of believing, being assured, sometimes listening. Sometimes listening to what the world says. For some of you, can I tell you the truth, somebody? For some of you, you'll hear this sermon, but you'll never get off the wrong train. Not because you can't get off the wrong train, but because you can't get off this train listening to CNN all day. Oh, Pastor, I don't listen to CNN. I listen to Fox. Whoa, aren't you spiritual? Well, you know, I listened it took me a while, but I listened to the news and I started to recognize what these news programs do. Can I sum up what the news program does? Okay, so I've got 3 minutes to talk about a very deep subject. Come on, all stay with me. A very deep subject. And I'm not going to get one person that we could have at least a 3-minute conversation. I'm going to get one person and then another person and then another person. And I'm going to put them on 3 screens. And then I'm going to have a conversation with all 3 of these experts and never get into any depth because I won't let them talk longer than 30 seconds. Am I speaking the truth? And many times I'll get one person that has a point of view on this side, and then I'll get these 2 people who have a point of view on this side, and I'll throw it out there and I'll just watch them argue for 3 minutes. And after they're done arguing, I'll come in and say, oh, I'm sorry, we're out of time. And we're all listening to this dribble. There's no faith. There's no hope. There's no God in any of this. Nobody ever mentions God in any of this. There's no passages. You know, what do they call the guy in charge? The anchor man never says, but you know what? I just want to remind you, you know what? That hope that is seen is not hope. I just want to remind you, the Bible says that God is pouring his love in your hearts. And hope doesn't disappoint. You'd never hear him say that or any other scripture. But you listen to hour upon hour upon hour of it. And just like faith comes through hearing, so does doubt and unbelief. So does depression. So does all this. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what you should do. You should turn off the dribble and start to hear. You, Pastor, what do I do? Here, go to discoverhope.us and you can listen to encouraging sermon after sermon after sermon. Give God as much time as you gave Satan. See, whose report are you going to listen to? I'll show you next week. You can't sow to the flesh and reap life. You can't do that. If you sow to the flesh, you know what you're going to reap? You're going to reap. You're going to reap corruption. You're going to reap decay. You're going to reap the word in the Greek, I'll show it to you next week. It's this thing of something substantial, your life getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Somebody receive something today?